Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres gearing up for the Blues on Thursday. Well, eventually. They're not practicing today. They're off, and they will resume practice tomorrow, and we will likely get injury updates then. On Tage Thompson and Matias Samuelson. Yep. Out-of-town scoreboard check, Marty. It's 4-4, Bridgeport and Hershey right now, third period. They've got a little early morning affair in the
AHL. This is a matinee when you start before noon. So
no,
that's
it's actually not. You know, I was gonna bug you about this because I looked into the definition. So I don't know why they teach it differently French than English, but it is something that a matinee is something that happens during the course of the day, predominantly in the afternoon. So that's what the definition is.
The only reason I laugh about it is because matinee comes from the French word matinée, which means morning, which means, you know, so that's what I'm saying. That's why I said I always laugh when the English people said it's a matinee at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That doesn't work.
The reason I also, you know, quickly, segued to the AHL there. Obviously, the Amherst had a win on Friday night, but they lost Felix Sandstrom in the process. And Hauser came in, they won the game, they got torched the next game, unfortunately, by a very hot Wilkes-Barre team. And Matt Vernon was actually backing up Hauser. Matt has been playing in Jacksonville of the ECHL. He's Mike Vernon's son, the Hall of Famer. Vernon's in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yes, he got in the Hall of Fame a couple years back. And when all the goalies went in.
Yeah, so, you know, this is, it's concerning. They don't have a lot of depth right now. And you were, you know, people are obviously looking at the very, very, very small Levi sample size right now, right? And so if he continues to get less and less minutes, which is the norm based on Luukkonen being the second busiest netminder in this calendar year of 2024 to Andrei Vasilevsky, you're going to keep hearing people say, well, Levi should be getting more games in Rochester, right? Okay, fine. If you are adamant about that and you think that, well, then the Sabres need another goalie. And right now, Rochester doesn't even have depth in goal because of this, you know, of the Sandstrom injury, which I don't have an update on as far as length of time that he could miss, right? And then you could extend all of this by stretching it all the way out to the West Coast and say, well, the Ducks have no use for James Reimer anymore because John Gibson.
That's where I was going to go. It's the original plan. The original plan of bringing in James Reimer.
Right.
Now they got Gibson back. They have Lukas Dostal. They do have three goalies on their roster in Anaheim, but at some point, they may put Reimer back on waivers, right? That's the way it is.
Yes, but I mean, imagine a scenario like Pittsburgh. Tough start to the year with Jarry. He accepts a conditioning stint.
Yes.
The stint goes pretty well, save for the last game.
Yeah.
So he's called up. They've got three on the roster. And then he sits there and watches two guys fumble away through the worst first period in Penguins history yesterday, giving up six to Dallas. Yeah. So, like, it's wild. Like, Anaheim's actually sitting there going, oh, Dostal's really shown everything we wanted, and Gibson came back and performed really well. So that's a luxury. And then the Penguins are sitting there going, we got three goalies, and like, it doesn't really feel like super good right now. And Luukkonen was and is, like, I'm not making a story out of anything here. Like, whatever. He had a game that wasn't great. He's been good enough for long enough that I never even think twice about Luukkonen, period. Like, it is what it is.
3-2 with a minute left. It was 3-2 with a minute left in the second period. It was fine. The Sabres fumbled that away in the last minute of the second period, and he didn't give up a good goal in the fourth goal, right? The Suzuki second goal in 22 seconds. Not a good goal, but look, so Pittsburgh could keep Jarry and Nedeljkovic and send Blomqvist back to Wilkes-Barre. He doesn't have to be on waivers. He'd be fine. He can go down, no problem. Not that he'd get picked up anyway if he was not having to clear. So Anaheim is the situation here I'm keeping my eyes on because, yeah, at some point you have to think that if the Sabres were thinking, okay, what makes sense now? Is Levi playing in Rochester making sense now? But we need somebody in Buffalo and Sandstrom is hurt. Not that I think Sandstrom would be the answer, but if you need somebody to just sit on the bench while Levi plays, you could do that. But if you felt like you needed something, well, then you call Anaheim. Hey, what's your situation with your three goalies? You got Reimer off waivers. You're putting him on waivers. We'll take him back. Anaheim doesn't want Reimer in the minors because it takes away from somebody playing with their farm team. And Buffalo original plan was Reimer was going to be that support guy if they needed him. I think it would make sense if eventually this came to a conclusion where a player like James Reimer would be put on waivers or found its way back to Buffalo. If the Sabres want to say, okay, we need to kind of explore the Luukkonen's going to play. We need maybe Reimer as a backup and Levi playing Rochester. This is not what we thought was going to be like in game one of the regular season, but that's where we are now in game 15 of the regular season or 16 of the regular season. That's what it is.
There's a little bit of irony in the teams that we're talking about here, though. Pittsburgh having the challenges they're having. Mm-hmm. Gibson historically linked to Pittsburgh. And really, the Ducks, I think, might actually want to keep Reimer behind Dostal and try to move Gibson in this moment of good health and higher value.
I think that makes sense as well, but...
But I'm not saying it's going to end up going to Pittsburgh. It's just those are the things you're going to constantly hear because we can never seemingly run far enough away from that.
No, and really, because John Gibson has been rumored to be on the move for quite a few years now with the Anaheim Ducks, I think more of that is media-driven mm-hmm. than it was actually Anaheim-driven. But now that Lucas Dostal is playing so well for them, now all of a sudden the Anaheim Ducks are like, oh, now let's join the bandwagon that we can move a player like John Gibson, who has two more years at $6.4 million. That is going to be the hard part. But Anaheim could, at this point, retain and facilitate a transaction if they want to. And then, as you said, they maybe would have Dostal and Reimer. But if Gibson gets traded, that's where the dominoes would fall. If he gets traded to Pittsburgh, right? Like, well, Anaheim doesn't want one of Pittsburgh's goalies to come back. They'd be happy with Dostal and Reimer. So now, is Nedeljkovic being put on waivers? Or look to move a Jarry or Nedeljkovic? Jarry's going to be hard to move. He has the new contract and everything. The Sabres would be wise to...
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Start the phone calls. Listen, hey, what's going on here? And kind of see what goalie movement we could see here in the next couple of weeks before, you know, Thanksgiving, because I think there is going to be a little movement there.
Kaapo Kähkönen is on waivers again right now. Kochetkov, by the way, who you, I feel like you don't love Kochetkov, but I just wanted to tell people that he's 8-1 on the year with a 245 and a 902. So for Carolina, who remain pretty darn hot,
I like Kochetkov. I think that there has been a little inconsistencies in his games. He's still pretty...
I'll take 8-1 inconsistent every day of the week.
Carolina is a really good team.
Yes, they are. And it's a hard team to post a great save percentage with because of how they play the game.
They play really good defensively, but they lose, you know, two on the back end and they just keep that team structure going. But I like Kochetkov. Now, you talk Kaapo Kähkönen's on waivers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's getting claimed.
No.
But that's those are the type of goalies that in a pinch, you could say, hey, we need a backup, right? We need, like, the Sabres in a pinch could say, let's get him, you know, through waivers, back up Luukkonen, and then Levi can play in Rochester, and then we'll put him back on waivers, and maybe, you know, we're stuck with. But those are the type of goalies in a pinch you can always look for.
Vegas has stumbled in the crease the last couple of games, losing 4-3 and 5-2. They'll be fine, obviously. They always are. But they are dealing with a Mark Stone injury, which they kind of, they're deeming it day-to-day right now. But it's, you know, always concerning.
When's
when
the
Mark
clown
is,
music? What's the circus no, music I'm coming not, on
I don't
with
make,
Vegas?
No, I mean, this is...
Not with Stone. I'm not saying Stone is a legitimate hard player. He goes hard 100 miles an hour
start to the
every
year.
Time.
Yeah, I mean,
and he's been banged up, and he's had injuries, and I get it. But every time you hear Vegas with one of their top players mm-hmm. being sidelined, and then you think, oh, well, they put that player on long-term IR so they can save that money, and then it's like the circus music comes playing in the background because that's what Vegas has been doing now multiple times over the last few years.
Absolutely. I don't know. I was surprised that I was watching hockey last night.
Yeah.
But Colorado-Nashville was unbelievable. It was such a good game. And in incredibly, this is what keeps happening this year, Predators fashion. They have chances to win.
Oh.
And big money man, new guy, Brady Shea gets pocket picked, falls down, breakaway, Sam Girard, overtime winner, right? Yeah. And it's just kind of how it's gone. They're okay over the last 10. They're 5-4-1, which is better than the awful 0-5 start. But
yeah.
Saros was great. Georgiev was great. It was an awesome hockey game last night.
The concern with Nashville is Saros was great and they lose 4-3 again. Like Saros has had
3-2,
to be great.
I think, last night.
Was it 3-2?
Was it 3-2?
It may have been 3-2. You're right.
Yes.
Because they So but Georgiev has been better. Which is good. He made
last three games.
He made a really nice glove save, standing up glove save in overtime, just whoop, like an easy look in from the slot. But Saros has had to be fantastic now for the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks, and they are only 5-4-1 in those 10 games where he's been fantastic. When you look at the numbers around the National Hockey League, UC Saros is, I'm going to pull it up here, he's top 10 in goal save above expectation. He's alongside the Anthony Stolars and the Connor Hellebuck and the Igor Shesterkin, and his team just plays 5-5 in the last 10, and he has to be a top 10 goalie in the world to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. And they moved off of Dante Fabbro, the Predators did. He was claimed on waivers by Columbus over the weekend. So will they utilize that money elsewhere to go get a different defenseman? We shall see. What were the analytics on your Hall of Fame weekend performance?
The analytics, and it was a warm-up for tomorrow night's alumni, Sabres alumni game against Shorzy. So I got to play in the Legends game. I'm a legend, by the way, Duffer. In Toronto on Sunday night. And here's how this all played out. We won the game 7-4, and then we went to a shootout, ended up winning like the game 9-7 overall. The less I tried, the better I got. Like in the start of the game, I really tried to move, and I was moving all over the place, and man, was I off balance and falling all over the place. And then the less I tried, the better it got. Now, Jeremy Roenick got a couple of goals. He scored one on the shootout. I let Eric Lindros score. The Big E was running around like a crazy man in the second period. He was competitive. And even our bench, I had like Adrian O'Quinn and Francois Beauchemin, and I had Shea Weber, and I had a couple of defensemen. They're like, the Big E is running around like crazy right now. Look out, guys. And then when he scored that goal in the shootout, he comes over to me. He goes, how much is that going to cost me? Because he clearly saw I let him score. I was like, I don't want to deal with it. But I did something, Duffer, that you're going to love. In the second period, I look up and there's a 2-on-0. Tony Amonte was coming in with, I don't know who was the second player with him. I just knew he had the puck, 2-on-0 from center ice. I turned around and I knocked the net off. I did the David Leggio in the middle of the game. And then I look over to Bill McCreary. I'm like, the net was off. What was I supposed to do? And then, like, I don't know if people thought it was funny or if it was kind of, like, rude. But I'm like, just give him a penalty shot. Let's make it fun. And then Jeremy Roenick got the penalty shot, came in and scored, which made it fun. There's a Hall of Famer, you know, going in and scoring a goal and a penalty shot. So better than Tony Amonte and whoever coming in on a 2-on-0. But yeah, so I pulled the the fireplace candle or the fireplace candle. And I knocked the net off, broke the water bottle, by the way, when I knocked the net off, like the whole thing exploded behind my net. So yeah, so I caused a lot of trouble there.
great time though.
Oh, awesome time. Next to me in the locker room was a gentleman named Terry Harper. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go and Google Terry Harper, the guy was born in 1940. He's 83 years old, going to be 84 soon. Won 5 Stanley Cups with the Montreal Canadiens in the 60s. Still plays 3 times a week, right? And obviously doesn't skate all that well. He's 83 years old, but he still was out there kind of going. The story about him is back in the days, there was one penalty bench. And him and Pulford, right? That's who it was. Mm-hmm. They got into a fight on the penalty bench. And the next year, they created 2 separate penalty bench because they didn't want players fighting on the penalty bench. So that's his claim to fame. Terry Harper, 83-year-old, told stories. It was awesome.
Not sure how we top that, but we'll try when we come back on Sabres Live after this.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.